The transfiguration of Jesus is all about seeing. That's what this moment is all about seeing Christ in all his glory, in his divinity. Remember, Jesus had been with his disciples and these folks for a long time as a human being, as one of us. Maybe a little better than most of us, but still a human being. But there are these moments in Scripture, in the Gospels, when Jesus reveals his true divine nature. And this is probably the most prominent of those moments. He goes up on the mountaintop with his disciples, certainly with Peter and James and John, and then is transfigured, shining bright as the sun. And remember, this is a time when people didn't have the laundry facilities that we do now, and these white-ish robes they were wearing were probably pretty dingy most of the time. That's why the scripture says Jesus appeared whiter than any bleach could make them. I mean, this is pure divine light, the light of God's glory shining through Christ. And the disciples are given the opportunity to see Christ truly. The problem is, as both of our readings also point out, we often don't see that clearly. This is why Paul begins talking about the veil. The gospel, the good news of Christ, is often veiled. There's a covering over our eyes. We can't see it clearly. And Paul says, when the gospel is veiled, we don't see Christ in all his glory. And we don't see the glory of God's kingdom. We get veiled, blinded. We get blinded by other gods, small g, the gods of this age, as Paul says. We get blinded by our culture. We get blinded by our assumptions. We get blinded by our own opinions about things. And thus, we cannot see Christ clearly. And I think this is reflected in the story of the Transfiguration by what Peter does. I mean, they see Jesus shining, and then we also see Elijah and Moses with him, the two great prophets of the Jewish faith, also two whose deaths are a little suspect. Moses dies away from any human being up on the mountain. Moses, also interestingly, when he would go up on Mount Sinai, we are told, would come down after talking to God and his face would shine, which required him to put on a veil so he wouldn't scare people. Interesting to compare that to what Paul says about the veil. And then Elijah, who is taken up into heaven before he dies. So here is Jesus with these two great prophets shining like the sun, and all Peter can say is, oh, let's build them shelters. Let's build them houses. Let's put them in boxes. Humans often want to do that when we encounter the divine, because the divine is overwhelming and scary. And so we want to put God, we want to put Christ in a box of our own making. And isn't it interesting that we Christians over the years have often focused more on our dwellings, our buildings, than on the message of our Lord? The same impulse Peter had. Oh, let's build shelters, boxes. Let's put God in a box that we can control, that we can limit, that we can understand. I mean, how many of you honestly, if you're honest with yourself, believe that if Jesus were here today, he would believe exactly the things you believe in? He would have your opinions. He would vote the way you vote. He would be as passionate about all the things you are as you are. And he would dislike those bad people that you dislike. I think if we're honest, most of us kind of feel that way. But the point is, God is always bigger, larger, more divine, more awesome than we can ever imagine or control or put in a box. And anytime we try to limit God based on our assumptions and our opinions, we're doing what Peter wanted to do. Let's control this situation. It's also interesting, I think, that as soon as Peter says this, a cloud descends and the disciples can't see anything. And they are truly blinded, literally and figuratively. And this is where I think the story really gets interesting. When this veil descends upon the disciples on that mountaintop. Because now they cannot see Jesus. And that's when they hear God's voice saying, "Here is my son, my beloved. Look at him." Except God doesn't say, "Look at him." God says, "Listen to him." Even when you can't see clearly, even when your own eyes might deceive you and you are blinded by this world, its culture, your own assumptions, listen to what Christ says to bring you back. You know, studies show that eyewitness accounts are often highly unreliable. I haven't heard studies about what we hear. I know for some of us, our hearing is also a little unreliable. But God says clearly here, "Listen to my son, even when you can't see." The irony of this transfiguration, this moment, which is all about seeing, is that it really isn't all about seeing. It's all about listening. And so this week, as we enter the season of Lent, I invite you to take some time to close your eyes and close your assumptions and listen for Christ. Amen.